Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a great show. I'm stoked about this. We have a returning old dog guest. Not that he's an old dog, but he's definitely a return guest on the Old Dogs REI Network podcast. He is also a ninja, okay? He's known as the Cash Flow Ninja. Now, if you haven't figured out who it is already, I'm talking about MC Labshar. And he is a husband, dad, podcaster, author, and cash flow expert. Now, that's a cash flow expert. That's got to be, I mean, we got to zero in on that one here because I think this show is all about cash flow. So this is going to be great. As a cash flow investor and entrepreneur, MC's passion is to assist investors and business owners to create, recover, warehouse, and multiply cash flow through advanced strategies. Having figured out how to escape the rat race and replace his own income through cash flow investing, he shares how highly paid professionals and business owners can replace their incomes through cash flow investing strategies to escape the rat race. He is focused on helping business owners and investors capitalize on their economic opportunities in times of great change, disruption, and chaos. And we definitely know what that means in the last couple of years here. MC is the creator and host of the top-rated business and investing podcast, two of them here, Cash Flow Ninja and Cash Flow Investing Secrets. The Cash Flow Ninja podcast has been downloaded over 4.5 million times in over 180 countries and has been featured as one of the top 48 podcasts for entrepreneurs by Entrepreneur Magazine and is regularly featured as one of the top 100 podcasts by Apple Podcasts. MC also founded Producers Wealth, an insurance brokerage helping clients in the United States with advanced cash flow strategies, and Producers Capital Partners, a firm assisting investors all over the world to invest in alternative assets that produce passive income in any economy and market. Well, MC, welcome back to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to have.
Oh, it's great having you on. And last time you were here, you just blew my mind with some of the creative, out-of-the-box approaches you have to cash flow. But I was, touching base with you before. We were talking yesterday, the day before. Wow. You know, just what has happened over the last couple of years with the pandemic and the economy and all of the things that are going on. I think there's a lot of folks that are very concerned about cash flow. And I think those that are approaching retirement or already in retirement are probably one of the most concerned groups, because they're wondering what the heck is going to happen to my money and what can I do about it? And so I'm just ready to sit back here and hear your thoughts on what's going on and how we can best deal with it, especially from a cash flow standpoint.
Yeah, we are most certainly living in very, very interesting times. I think a lot of folks, they're very concerned too, because there's many different storms all coming together simultaneously and creating this one big giant storm. And what I mean by that is we are seeing many different cycles actually overlap. So a lot of folks know about asset cycles and market cycles and economic cycles, but there's also demographic cycles. And then there's also empire cycles, which we are clearly seeing on the world stage right now, power shifting from one empire over to another empire. And this has happened throughout history. But of course, a lot of things that come together like this causes great confusion. Then you throw in, of course, the technological development that's happened over the past 20 years. We are really now full steam into the fourth industrial revolution, as a lot of folks have referred to this. So the speed at which things are moving is much, much faster than throughout history. We've seen these changes. We've seen cycles overlap, but because of the technology element, we haven't quite seen it at the speed at which we're seeing it. And what I mean by the fourth industrial revolution is, we had the industrial revolution. Sort of the phase one was like the locomotive engine, and this was a great connector of societies. If you think just of all the railway tracks that connected towns and connected it to big cities, and goods and people could move pretty quickly from one place to another. And then the second phase in the industrial age was organized workplace. Sort of the assembly line, which Henry Ford obviously is very well known for that, putting together Ford automobiles. And this translated over to all other industries, made them more efficient, increased the speed at which you could manufacture things. And it was a game changer. And then sort of the third phase was the age of the internet, which, just like those railroad tracks in the first phase, connected now not only towns and cities, but the entire world. We were all connected. And then the fourth phase, which is this fourth industrial revolution, is then taking it to a whole new level. It's the Internet of Things. Anything smart is now connected. A smart watch to a smartphone, to a smart TV, to a smart, from a refrigerator in your house to a dishwasher. Everything's going to be connected. You're going to see the rollout of 5G. Which I don't think folks understand or even fathom at the speed that we will be connected through that. And then also, I mean, you're seeing artificial intelligence popping up everywhere. And some folks might think, wait a second, I haven't really seen that. Any website you now visit has someone popping up and starting to talk to you. Well, that's artificial intelligence. It's not a real live person. And of course, robotics and so forth. You know, 3D printing. All these things are being rolled out now. We're going to see with 5G, the Internet of Things, for example, and artificial intelligence, you could eventually see driverless vehicles, which they've already had driverless vehicles in some parts of the world tested. In China, I believe they even tested a driverless bus, believe it or not.
Wow.
So you've got all these technology things that are really, really disrupting a very chaotic environment already. And that's leading to, of course, you know, a lot of inequality in society, because there are some folks that they're not quite sure what's happening. And then there are folks that know what's happening and then positioning themselves for it. And of course, if you look at different time periods in history too, there's a very interesting book called The Fourth Turning. And we are literally living through this fourth turning. And the whole book basically just states that, you know, there are cycles, you know, let's just say 80 to 100 year cycles that every country or nation or empire goes through. And of course, you have your winter, right? Your dark, your cold, these are the times that really, really have hard characters thrive in it. And then the spring comes. And then, of course, it goes into the summer. Peaks, and then the fall happens, and then you're back into the winter. And it takes about 80 to 100 years. And if you think just in the United States, let's just take the U.S. for example, about 80 to 100 years ago, you know, we had World War II. And then 80 years before that, approximately, give or take, we had the Civil War. And then about, again, 80 years before that, we had the American Revolution. So it's interesting that these themes repeat itself. And I mean, we are clearly in times of great change, rapid change, and change at a rate which we've never seen. We're at a time where there is very disruptive technologies out there that will disrupt every single place in the economy. There's no sector or market that will not be impacted by it. And it's causing a lot of chaos. It's causing a lot of confusion. And some folks are being left behind, which causes social friction. And of course, when you see these developments happen, it always boils over then into, you know, a kind of very disruptive and very divisive political environment, just like it did, you know, 80 years before this and 80 years before that and 80 years before that. So we're definitely living in very, very interesting times. And then to add a little bit more fuel to the fire, there's this concept which first is there are some folks that have been floating this concept, but essentially it's called the Great Reset. And this was kind of like, you know, a concept which at first people thought, well, is this just one of those stories of a bunch of guys sitting with cigars in a dark room and, you know, planning nefarious things? No, I mean, it's openly talked about by think tanks, by institutions. You know, the World Economic Forum talks about it quite a bit. And there's actually a book that the chairman of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, actually wrote. He wrote COVID-19 and the Great Reset. And essentially what it is, the Great Reset, for folks that are not familiar with this concept, is we're just going to see the reset, restructuring, and essentially collapse of structures, frameworks, and systems that we have taken for granted our entire lives. And I will elaborate a little bit more on that in our talk. But that, yeah, I mean, all these things are coming together. But we're not living during interesting times. I will say this, though. If you understand what's happening, you see how things are connected, because they're all connected, and you realize where we are, and you anticipate kind of the next steps of what's coming, this could be one of the most exhilarating and exciting times in anyone's life, because during times like this, capital moves, and there's no money heaven. Money doesn't disappear. It changes hands. So it moves from one area of the economy to another area in the economy. So folks that position themselves could position themselves on the right side of the greatest wealth transfer in human history, which we're already very well into. If you just look at the numbers that have come out since 2020. There's a lot of within all of this kind of doomy, chaotic, uncertain, disruptive times, there is a plethora and an abundance of opportunities for those that that want to see it and that will capitalize on it.
Well, that's, you know, I think has a lot of people, everybody's life has been shaken up, you know, from lockdowns to, just massive number of businesses that have just disappeared as a result of some of these lockdowns and some of these changes that happen associated with COVID-19. But at the same time, you've got this confusion in the investment community. It's almost like the Warren Buffett versus Robert Kiyosaki world. Okay. Now Kiyosaki is just, you know, he's singing from the same song sheet, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, you know, and Warren Buffett is investing differently than he has in his history. And so a lot of people are looking at what am I doing? You know, maybe they've got their funds, you know, with their financial planner and, you know, it's their nest egg has been there. It's been doing great, you know, in this marketplace. And all of a sudden, boom, it just got whacked, zapped. And yeah, they're going, wait a minute, that's my retirement there. And flashbacks to, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009 and what happened there. I think there is this, you talk about chaos and confusion. I mean, it's right in the midst of the investing world.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, here's another thing that I'm seeing in the investing world, because there are so many things happening, you know, when from COVID to now, you know, the war with Russia and Ukraine and all of these other many different kind of themes that are playing heavily now into the headlines, inflation, and, you know, we're seeing the prices of gas and so forth. So there's a lot of fear out there. So when it comes to the investment world too, it's very tough to grab headlines. So folks then have to revert to make very, I would say, bold and controversial statements when it comes to that. Folks refer to it as maximalism. You know, you see one person say, well, this is the magic bullet. This is going to solve all problems, cure all ills, and take care of everything that you need to take care of. And the next person would say the complete opposite of something else, and that is the magic bullet that is going to take care of all problems and cure all ills. You know, what I find fascinating is looking at guys like Ray Dalio too in times like this, because Ray Dalio has the Four Seasons portfolio. It's part of his investment philosophy and strategy, and he prepares for anything and everything. So he allocates his portfolio in different areas, which positions it to take advantage of an economic boom, and then also inflation, and then of course an economic contraction or a recession or a collapse, and then a deflationary event that could occur. So I think at this stage too, yeah, there's a lot of maximalist views, especially in the investment world. But I think what investors that have been through these crazy times are doing really well is that they are positioning themselves for anything that's going to be thrown at them. They're positioning themselves to be prepared for anything and everything. And they have a stable of horses. This is a very dangerous time if you're going to bet all your money on one horse in this horse race. You need a stable of horses for different tracks, for different environments, for different things that this world's going to throw at us in the next couple of weeks and next couple of months, and has already thrown at us. So that's kind of the approach that I take and kind of look at is How can I prepare for different types of outcomes? And how can I position myself and my overall wealth strategy for that so that there's not really any surprises out there that comes my way, and there's not really something that, you know, that I didn't prepare for? Will there be wild cards? Absolutely. Do I have a blind spot? Absolutely. Everybody has them. Every single investor has them. We don't have a crystal ball. You know, and the crystal ball business is about a very, very tough one. So it's not a very good business to be in. But yeah, I mean, I can share that with your listeners too, if you're interested. I've sort of just a daily exercise that I do in navigating the environment too, which has helped a lot. And I've sort of developed this over the past 2 years.
Yeah, I would love to hear that. I really want to zero in on some of the strategies that you're using. Yep. That are helping to prepare you. But I'm just going to take one little step back. When you talked about a big wealth transfer, maybe the biggest wealth transfer, where are you seeing that, and where is it being transferred from and to?
Yeah, so one of the areas for massive, massive growth, of course, has been the cryptocurrency markets. And when I say cryptocurrencies and blockchain, a lot of folks would say, oh, no, I don't want to buy a doggy coin and hope it goes up, kind of, you know, that way. Right. And trust me, I don't want to buy a doggy coin, too, and hope it goes up. But there's ways to invest in that environment. And what I mean by that is a good example is the California Gold Rush. And I sort of call this the California Gold Rush strategy, where the folks that made really the fortunes during the California Gold Rush wasn't necessarily the miners or the folks digging and panning for gold, but it was the people that sold the shovels, sold the equipment, the folks that clothed them like the Levi and Strauss family, the folks that fed them and sold food to them and housed them and provided entertainment, and then also financial services like the Wells family, which is the founders of Wells Fargo. So a similar strategy that a lot of folks have positioned themselves in that space. I'll give you an example. You know, two areas where I don't think there's going to be enough, you know, enough people ever that could fill that void is in the tax, in the legal and estate planning kind of niche in that sector. If you think of what governments are doing around the world, they're coming after cryptocurrencies for taxes. They're coming, the regulatory environment is changing. So companies, people that saw, wow, there's a booming industry, there's a lot of smart and talented people that have gone in there. How can I start a business in there that's not dependent on a doggy coin that has to go up in value? Well, I can start a tax firm specializing in cryptocurrency tax planning, and investors can invest in it. The same with on the legal side. Wow, this is going to be, I mean, there's going to be some serious regulations coming in there. All of these companies are going to basically have to make sure that they're aligned with it. How do I invest in those companies? So that's one area where it's gone. There's also a lot of folks in the business world, unfortunately, the medium kind of companies have swallowed up a lot of the small companies. And of course, folks that sort of understood the game, which a lot of your listeners know the game of the game of capital and the game of money. And that's why they love real estate. But essentially, between 2020 and now, so much currency has been added to the supply, not just in the U.S. I think the latest number was around 40%, but you know, I it's hard to get very accurate data. That's about the closest I could get. But 40%, let's just say, of all dollars ever created has been created since 2020. So if you think about that, that's a lot. 40%.
Wow.
So the folks that held assets such as real estate, where a lot of capital has gone to, that have been in the cryptocurrency space, that have owned businesses, they've heavily benefited from this because, you know, if you have a business, for example, and you own real estate, you get to benefit from asset inflation and price inflation. Now, asset inflation is the value of all the assets going up in value. So you've seen it in your stock portfolio until recently, until the pullback, real estate, cryptocurrencies, and then price inflation we're seeing now. And I believe we're just seeing, I mean, we're nowhere near from done. with inflation of where this is going to go. We're seeing incredible price inflation, which of course, if you have businesses can adjust the prices that they charge with price inflation, but the people paying for it on a fixed income are the most hurt. So the money is moved from the folks that don't necessarily have assets, that have fixed incomes, to people that have businesses, that have assets, and that have positioned themselves in areas to where capital is flowing. And, you know, just on the inflation side, too, I saw today that the U.S. Congress just gave themselves a 21% pay raise. so they know where inflation's going. Mm-hmm. They know what's going on, and they know it's not going to stop anytime soon. And Yellen at the Federal Reserve just actually said that, too. So this is going to continue happening, unfortunately. But if you can benefit from inflation, as you can as a business owner or an investor, then you can position yourself, obviously, for this environment.
Well, you started to go into sort of your daily, how you're daily adjusting to this. Can you kind of maybe elaborate on that?
Yeah, and I'll share this briefly with folks. So there's a concept that I learned from Keith Cunningham called thinking time. So every single day, I block off an hour and I grab a empty notepad, and then I essentially just think. I think about my thinking, and I use some frameworks to help me with it. This has been I have to say, one of the best things that I could do. You know, I think it was Henry Ford that said, thinking is one of the hardest things to do. That's why so few people engage in it. And it's true. Thinking is hard. But you don't have to take an hour. You can take 30 minutes. And some days when there's not a lot happening, I complete it in 30 minutes. But essentially, I take a framework that I learned from a coaching group that I'm a part of. But essentially, the first thing that you do, you evaluate all of the dangers and the threats every single day that's out there. And this gives you clarity of what's going on, what's a threat to you, your family, your business, and your investments. And then also think of potential threats that we haven't seen yet. And then we look at opportunities, because within all of those threats, when you have identified them and written them down, you'll start to see opportunities. Massive opportunities. I'll give you an example. One of the threats that I was looking at and folks are looking at was in the energy markets. You know, when the current administration shut down energy production, basically on day one with executive orders and a pipeline, I looked at that and said, well, there's going to be other sources of energy that needs to be used. And unfortunately, you know, as much as we want to believe it, we're not going to power the entire globe on solar and wind. There's going to have to come another source of power to do that. And nuclear, of course, was one of those sources. And, you know, it's nuclear, which is uranium, only powers about 10% of you know, all of the countries around the world. And a lot of countries have started to use more nuclear, which has gotten more uranium. So it was a good speculative play for folks that were trading that. So I'm just giving an example of that. Massive opportunity in some threats. And then, of course, you look at, you know, your skill sets, your capabilities, or the relationships that you have that can capitalize it. And there's a couple of things that I look at for dangers and for opportunities, and I'll just list them quickly. One of the first areas is money. The monetary system changes about every 30 to 40 years. We just had fiat currency's birthday, 50th birthday, actually, on August 15th last year. Nixon took the world essentially off the gold standard on August 15, 1971, and that changed the money system around the globe. All of a sudden, all currencies were now just fiat currencies issued by decree of a government or a central bank and enforced by legal tender laws. There was no backing of any currencies. You know, and before that, we could go to Bretton Woods in New Hampshire, where the Bretton Woods Agreement was signed. The U.S. dollar became the world reserve currency. So the monetary system is essentially pretty much in the process of resetting already. You see the news headlines. Everybody's talking about Bretton Woods 2.0, or we need a new Bretton Woods moment. You know, if you look at what the World Bank is saying, the IMF is saying, all of these central bankers are saying. So there's something happening there. So it's important to identify what's going on there. Then on the banking, the same thing. I believe that the banking world's still going to get rocked. And bank, the way that we bank is definitely going to change. Debt, obviously, that we have a debt money system. What's going on in the debt markets, which is the biggest market out there? You know, I look at the energy markets because the energy drives every single economy. I think people are starting to realize how important oil and gas is right now when they see the goods and services that they consume, the price is skyrocketing. And then I look at commerce, what's happening in the business world. Everything's going digital. I look at different markets, whether it be equity markets, whether it be currency markets, whether it be commodity markets, crypto markets. And then I look at real estate, the opportunities, you know. One of, and probably a lot of your listeners have benefited from this, but one of the best places to have been invested over the past 2 to 3 years have been short-term rentals, because the way that we live changed because of the way that we worked. We started going virtual. So all of a sudden, you didn't have to stay in the city or town where your employer is. You could actually move to the place that you want to move and work from there virtually. It's changed the job market. Companies can now hire the best talent, and the talent pool now is the world, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not just who lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then how people travel changed too. The airlines obviously was shut down for a little bit. Folks started flying less. So now all of a sudden, a getaway weekend that you're taking your spouse with to the Caribbean is now all of a sudden, honey, let's jump in the car and drive 2 to 3 hours and stay at a short-term rental close to water, whether it be the beach, whether it be a lake or mountains. And then, of course, you know, I look at just societal trends, the health trends, food trends, which most people are starting to realize how important that is, our supply chains and so forth, and then trends in education. And there are enormous threats in all of these things that I just shared, but there are enormous opportunities, like I shared with, you know, the uranium traders in some of our network, and then the real estate, the short-term rental market. Education, for example, too. There's been so many folks that have started educational companies, new books. You know, the Tuttle Twins is a fantastic example of that. You know, so there's a lot of dangers, but a lot of opportunities.
What kind of suggestions do you have in terms of, I think this is great, because you are talking about sort of looking outside the box here to find opportunities and anticipate opportunities. But what sort of from an individual standpoint can people do to kind of at least get some sort of a, again, with so much change going on, it's hard to kind of grasp onto any one area. But you talk about developing a strategy and maybe with your portfolio, with your investments, and how can you, in this environment, how can you, you know, get a hold of that and move it in the right direction?
Yeah, that's a great question. So from a strategy standpoint, I'm looking at how can I position things for any event and for anything, even something that I'm not even thinking about that could blindside me. And that brings me to what I said earlier. You need a stable of horses. So there's about four areas of allocation. And what you put into different areas depends a lot on where you are and, of course, your risk tolerance. But the four areas right now that I'm positioned for, too, is the first area is cash. And folks would say, cash, yes, cash. Cash is one of the most important things in uncertain times. To have cash is a great tool, and again, it's just a tool in my toolbox. In my toolbox, I've different tools. So the first tool that I'm going to have is cash, because if there's a deflationary event, I'm going to need cash, well, for many different reasons, but I can also use the cash then to buy assets at a discount. So cash is going to bring a stability factor for you in your portfolio too. And I'll share with you quickly the other areas. So you have cash, then you have your metals. And if you can imagine sort of a quadrant, I would put those two at the top. That's sort of your defensive plays. So having cash and then having gold and silver. And then the bottom part of the quadrant, I would put a cash flow portfolio, which is your income part, and then also a growth part for it. So you have cash, you have metals, you have your cash flow portfolio, and you have growth. So cash is going to be the stabilizer. Let's just say there's an inflationary event and there's an economic boom. Well, you can use cash to purchase other assets, buy more metals, buy more cash flow producing assets, buy more assets for growth. You can always deploy it if there's a boom or we're in a massive inflationary environment. And for cash, I would recommend a lot of folks keep cash on hand. Do not put all of your cash in the banks. As I mentioned, I'm very, very nervous about banks. I think the nature of banking is going to change very, very quickly. And I think all of the laws that have been put on the books since the last financial crisis is there for a reason. Most folks are not familiar with the term bail-ins, but that is essentially a feature of some of the laws that have been put on the books. And what that means is when folks want their money, they might not be able to get it in the event of a massive just a crisis. And we've already seen this, for example, out in Lebanon, which has gone through a crisis in the last year. Folks couldn't get their money out of the bank. So have some cash on hand. And then, the other area that I also have cash and I teach and I share more about that is in mutual insurance companies through the infinite banking strategy. And that's essentially how you can decentralize yourself in a way from the banking system. So have some cash on hand, have some cash in vehicles that have been around for 200 years that have an impeccable track record of being good stewards of capital and great custodians. So have some cash on hand. Metals is there, that's your wealth insurance. That is really when we start to see a massive wild card events. If there's a deflationary event, yeah, it'll go down a little bit. If there's an inflationary event, your metals will maintain its value. Gold has been money for centuries. It's going to continue to be real money. Silver is probably the most undervalued asset right now in of all asset classes. And then cash flow portfolio. So in your cash flow portfolio, a lot of folks have real estate that generate income. They have some businesses. You want to have diversified income streams. You do not want to depend on one sole source of income during very uncertain and chaotic times. As a lot of folks, unfortunately, have been in a position where if that one income stream is taken away, they don't have another source of income. If you have several of those, if one of those income streams get taken away, then you still have other income streams. So I cannot state how important that is. And then in areas of growth, and that's sort of where I took a look at what was happening in the crypto and blockchain world and have some exposure to Bitcoin and to some of those companies. Now I mentioned this is a stable of horses. Your cash is your everyday horse. Your horse that you put your buggy on, that drags your buggy around. You need your workhorse. Your metals is your war horse. So when there's really, really chaotic times, gold's been money for centuries. It's going to continue to be. That's your war horse. And you want your war horse just to put its head down and keep going, just like a good war horse does. And then, of course, your cash flow portfolio and on your growth side, that, your growth is your fastest horse, especially particularly with on the crypto side. But your cash flow portfolio also is that's your race horse, and you're diversifying your race horses. Again, do not just bet on one horse in the race right now. So that's kind of the approach that I've taken from a strategy standpoint, you know, and following Ray Dalio's model of that four seasons, being diversified and being in different areas, is going to allow you to be positioned for, you know, the dark winters, the spring, the summer, and then also the fall.
And what kind of income streams do you personally think are good for this type of economic environment?
Yeah, I think especially when we look at disposable incomes going down, people are always going to need a place to stay, always. So real estate is still a good, solid income stream for that. Then businesses, I would say, that also focuses on necessities, whether it be food, whether it be clothing and so forth. And then, of course, during this time, there's going to be people that have disposable income. So there are things that you, obviously it's a little bit of a different approach. There's income streams that you can position and set yourself up for that. So a short-term rental business would be a great income stream for the folks with disposable income. But you know, here's the one thing that I say to Bill, like I learned this from a mentor a couple of years ago, of how value is created in the economy, because we all talk about value creation and so forth. But I didn't really understood it until it was put to me in this way, is when you have participants in a marketplace that find themselves in a situation where they are experiencing a lot of challenges, a lot of problems, a lot of headaches, they are desiring to be in a different situation than what they're already in. So entrepreneurs that can come in and then produce a vehicle for them through their businesses and their products and their services to solve all of those problems and challenges and pain points and for them, to put them in the situation that they want to be, rid of all those things that are making them unhappy. You're gonna have a profitable business. The same with desirable outcomes. You know, people want luxuries too. They want desirable outcomes. And if you can position yourself as a business, or position yourself in a vehicle that does that, you're going to be part of the value creation and find yourself to have a profitable income stream. But yeah, what's great income streams? So far, I have to look at a couple of mine. Real estate has been great through this. There's actually historic resort properties, which we've invested in, that has done phenomenally well. That's focused on weddings. They have ancillary and symbiotic cash flow streams. They've done really well. I am invested in some energy businesses that have done very, very well right now. So again, with prices going up, energy businesses have benefited from that. And then, of course, in the crypto space, being invested in business, again, what are some of the challenges that folks are having there? Filing taxes. Who could figure that out? So if you're someone that could do that and rid someone of that, and find some folks that can invest in that business, that's a very good income stream. But have diversified ones. Have ones that are in different sectors, in different niches, and don't just have them all in one niche. Because as we saw in 2008, 2009, if one market gets hit, like let's just say, for example, you're just in single family real estate, you know, or even multifamily took some hits, big hits then too. But if you were only in those two markets, then yeah, you were having a tough time. But if you had diversified into other areas, then of course, you know, you now have diversified income streams.
That's great. Yeah, and you have a book that you wrote, the 21 Best Cash Flow Niches. What seems to pop up out of that book that right now are particularly attractive niches?
Yeah, there's a couple that's very attractive that I shared in there. There are some that are not, you know, it's not really dependent on the economy at all. So I'll share an example with you. There's a niche of teak inside of timber that I came across that I saw a lot of wealthy families held in family offices. And it just blew my mind. So I have a friend in a family office. I called him up. I said, what is up with this? I see a lot of these families are positioning themselves, you know, in these teak niches. And he said, you know, MC, think about it this way. You know, talking about stability of a portfolio, what do trees do today? He said, well, they grow. What did they did 5 years ago? Well, they grew. And what are they going to do 5 years from now? They're just going to grow. So it's a great element to add. And of course, that keeps up with inflation too. And agriculture is a great niche in general. If you can be invested in agriculture right now, whether it be crops, whether it be livestock, whether it be just farms in general, or whether it be you know, just something like the teak that I just mentioned, those are very great niches right now. And there's ways that you can do it that you don't necessarily have to buy a whole farm these days, right? There's another niche that I share in there that's very intriguing. And this kind of blew my mind too, but it's called music royalties. And another thing for the times that we live in now, you know, when the economy is in recession, markets have crashed, people are depressed, they listen to music. Mm-hmm. And when people are happy, they're excited, the market is booming, people listen to music. Music's always going to be there. I find it very interesting how there is now platforms where you can actually buy a portion of the royalties of very well-known artists and collect income from that. So there's a couple of interesting niches that I shared in there, which shows you how to position yourself in any environment, and they can all bring very much stability to any cash flow portfolio. But that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is I realized how important it is to be diversified now in different cash flow niches and have different streams of income, because that's one way that you can ensure that you're going to be very well balanced for whatever comes in this crazy environment.
Wow, this is fantastic information. You have provided just a lot of food for thought here, and also some real practical stuff that people can hold on to. It's funny you should mention the music royalties thing, because all music, you know, if you've copyrighted it, whatever, it doesn't really matter. After a certain period of time, but either you renew it, or it just the music's available for anybody who wants to grab it. And I know that Michael Jackson did that with like a lot, you know, the Beatles portfolio and stuff. But I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, it could be just music that's been around for a long time that someone just didn't follow up on in terms of their royalties and so forth. And you could just go in there. So yeah, those are a lot of great ideas. And I'm going to definitely put a link up for the book for people that are going to check out our show notes and grab some of those ideas. But I love the idea of the whole multiple streams of income. I mean, that's been a good concept for a number of years, but I think now probably more than ever, something real prevalent that I think really will be beneficial for the investors listening to this show. So MC, this has been great. Really, really good stuff. Anything you want to mention that you might not have addressed, or anything coming up that people should know about, or anything like that?
Yeah. So for your listeners that are interested in purchasing the book, it'll be in the link that you provide, and they can find it on Amazon too. And when they purchase the book, just screenshot a proof of your purchase and send it to my email or to my team at info@cashflowninja.com. And what we'll make available for your listeners, Bill, is we'll give them access to a free ebook if they want to read it on a Kindle, an audio book. I also, as a bonus, created this curated library of all the interviews that I did with guests about niches that's featured in the book. And there's more bonus goodies. So just send us a proof of purchase and we'll give you access to all of those. We appreciate everyone that's interested to learn in more niches and how to diversify income streams. And I'll also just share that, You know, I've mentioned a lot of stuff here that might sound a little bit doomy and gloomy, but as I stated in the beginning, you know, it's a pretty exciting time to be alive on this spinning ball of dirt that we inhabit. You know, it's a one in a multi-generational event, and I'm pretty excited for what's coming. I know there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of already chaos. There's a lot of things that have changed the world already, and there's more to come. But I think if you have the right mindset, you have the right frameworks and models, and you understand what's going on, and you know how to position yourself for the next couple of things, I think this you're going to look back at this time that we're living in right now as one of the most exciting times ever in your life.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot ahead that we really won't know until we're there. But at the same time, I think, you know, being wise stewards of the funds that we have and prudent, I think you can come out on the better side of this if you really think it out. So great stuff, MC. I really appreciate your coming on and sharing this with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you so much for all of your listeners listening. Appreciate you all.
Oh, it's been our pleasure, and I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything that MC talked about today, and there's a lot of good stuff. We'll have links, we'll have detailed show notes and references to his site as well, so that you can get more information. Just look for the episode featuring MC Labshar. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.